The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, God, blessed Trinity, we gather in His presence to worship Him together this morning.
There comes a time in everyone's life where he or she is called into action, where they need to step outside their daily routine, dig deep, find courage, gotta rise to the occasion. Are you ready?
This year, get ready for an event so epic, there simply aren't enough metaphors to describe it. In a world that needs Jesus more than ever.
Cake? Give him a good high five. Come on.
One team of ordinary people has assembled for a mission of a lifetime.
I just don't think I can make it.
You're gonna make it, even if I have to carry you. Come on!
Guts. Glory. And probably some free food.
Seems like the team's really coming together.
There's just one more thing we need to do to make this a high-performing, cohesive unit.
What's that?
Yeah, I need two low-fat caramel mochas, one soy latte, and two strawberry iced teas.
Hey, Grandma.
Oh, Tommy, I'm so glad you're here. Why don't you and your friends go and put these on?
Thanks, Nana.
Bye. Have fun.
This summer, get ready for your church to be part of the action.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me.
All right, everybody. There's only one thing we're missing. You.
Sign up today
part in the action.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God.
And good morning to you sinners, saints, and everyone in between. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us today, we welcome you especially. And would encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church or for us to be able to get to know you better, to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you, right next to our prayer cards. Yesterday, for me, the quote of the day was, "You fixed it, you fixed it, you fixed it." Yesterday was a very successful operation, in as much a church-wide mission outreach, and we're thankful for Amy and Paula and the mission team for their hard work in coordinating all of that, and David as well for coordinating the work on the playground. Yesterday, we collected goods and organized them. But then some of us, I feel like, got the special privilege to go and fix a broken playground set and make it pretty much strong enough to drive a truck over, John, I think. And when we were finishing up, wrapping up, at that exact moment, some of the children who were staying there at the women's shelter showed up and just were overjoyed, said, "You fixed it, you fixed it." And a big thank you from them to all of you who helped make that possible. I also want to say something about the video you just saw. There is a companion with that in your bulletin, a sign-up sheet for those who think they may be interested in helping out. We do need to start, even now, thinking about volunteers to provide snacks, to help out with crafts, to be teachers, to be leaders, to be a part of some of the dramas that take place. Those who can help out in any way, you don't have to do it all. We want to all come together as a team, as a church, and make this an exciting summer for our children. So if you do have any interest, go ahead and fill that out, or even if you just want to be kept in mind, place that also in the offering plate today, or you can give those to Denise. Denise, raise your hand. Denise is our VBS coordinator this summer. There's a lot going on this week. Please take some moments to look at the salmon-colored sheets and see where you might fit into the opportunities of our church.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all his hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray together. Father God, as we gather here this morning, we gather here to praise you for all the things that we can see and sometimes understand. The sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the changing weather. We gather here to praise you, O God, for all the things that we cannot see and all the things that we cannot understand. All heaven's angels, outer space, the skies above us, the heavens. We gather to praise you, O God, for all the things in life that we experience. The created world, people around us of all ages, and the circumstances that surround them. All God's creation, we gather here this day to worship you. We join in the eternal chorus of praise of the angels to you, O God, whose name is glorious and whose ways are holy. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now join us in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 6, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please stand if able.
First, I'd like to echo what Mason said. Thank you all for coming out and your participation in Operation Inasmuch yesterday. We had about 30 people come out to the church yesterday to be the hands and feet of Christ. On May 7th, we have another opportunity to minister to one of our own members, Anna Zell. One of the things that I remember the most about having birthdays from when my family started coming here to this church is getting a phone call from Ann on my birthday, and she'd sing happy birthday, and then she'd laugh and say, now you know why I'm not in the choir. And that just made my birthday more special, and she did that for every member of this church. So she is going to be turning 90 on May 5th. While she cannot be with us in person because she had to move to Charlotte to be nearer her family, we would like to get the deacons, I had the idea and presented it to the deacons that we travel to where she lives in Charlotte on the 7th to spend some time with her and wish her a happy birthday. If you'd like to go, there's a sign-up sheet that is in the vestibule. We're going to be taking the church van. We're going to stop and get some food on the way down and fellowship with each other and fellowship with Anne when we get there. If you can't go, or even I'm going to make a scrapbook of birthday cards for her. If you would like to send her a birthday card through us, you can do that. Just bring it next Sunday so I have time to put it in a scrapbook album. And we will also be having, we will also offer the opportunity to have tell Ann happy birthday via video, and then we're going to sing happy birthday as a congregation before the worship service starts next week. If you have any questions, if you would like to go or anything like that, I'll be outside in the vestibule at the end of the service today. Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, as your holy word reveals to us, your gift of grace is offered to all of your children. You wait expectantly to hear our response. And in this hushed moment, Father, we respond by returning a portion of those gifts and those blessings that you have given to us in our time of offering. Not just what we put in the plate, but what we promise to do with our lives. Father God, may you accept this offering, and may it be pleasing to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Who have you pushed
out of church? Who have you run off or failed to make room for? Who have you judged? Let us pause now in this silent opportunity for you to make confession to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Let us pray. We confess, Father, that we fail. We fail you and we fail others and we fail ourselves when we fail to make room for the other. When we judge others as being unfit or unworthy of a place at the table, a place in the room, or a place in the kingdom. It's not our business or our job to send some to heaven and others to hell in the first place. We confess, Lord, that we are quick to judge and harsh in our judgment. But not so with you. Your love knows no end. Your forgiveness is guaranteed by the grace of Jesus Christ. Your mercy is prodigal and boundless. And so we trust in the power of your forgiveness. And your word that says that if we confess our sins, you who are faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, it is in the confidence of that we approach your throne in prayer and ask you, God, make the world right for all those who have been pushed aside and cast out, for all those who have been shoved into a corner and said to stay there, for all those who have been made to feel unwelcome, unworthy, for those who have been told you are the margin. For them we pray. For them we pray that they would feel your presence and love. They would feel the welcome of your Spirit, and that you would send your faithful children to them to love them and to be the hands and the feet of none other than your Son, Jesus the Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come now to wrestle with your word together, we pray that we would lose the fight and you would win it, that you would subdue us, our minds and our spirits, that you would subdue our preconceived notions and subdue our biases, that our focus might be an openness to the power of your word. May you win. In Christ's name, amen. My dad grew up with a friend named Elijah. And Elijah was, there was nothing in the world mentally wrong with Elijah. He was a smart guy, made good grades, went on to be very successful in life. But there are those in our world, you know, that are educated beyond their intelligence or intelligence beyond common sense. And they may be on the books very, very bright, but in practical ways, in real life ways, they're kind of dumb. Well, Elijah, bless his heart, was like that. And one day he and my dad were walking across the yard, and a friend of theirs, Walter, who liked to climb up on roofs, and he was up on the rooftop, on the very crest of the roof, tight walking, as you will, up there. And Elijah yells at him, "Walter, you get down from there. You're going to fall and break your neck." Walter ignored him. He was having a good time. Elijah yelled again, "If you don't get down from there right now, you're going to fall and get hurt." Walter said, "I'm fine." Elijah picks up a rock and throws it as hard as he can and clocks Walter upside the head, to which he tumbled off, and Elijah said, "I told you you'd fall." You know, we all probably have moments, not quite like that, but moments where we thought we were so wise and we turned out to be so foolish. It ends up that while we thought we were intelligent, we were really kind of dumb in that moment. I had one of those experiences when I was a teenager. Our youth group was on our way to Fort Caswell down on the coast, and it's just a magical retreat center. And we were going there for a weekend youth retreat, and this was very early in my faith. I think I was 16, maybe 17, and was very excited about this opportunity, and we're driving in the church van. We're singing all these terrible songs to drive the youth minister crazy over and over again. We had all had Jolt Cola. You know, it was one of those great experiences, those great epic moments in youth group. And then we are all of a sudden on the highway surrounded by a motorcycle gang. There they are. They're all in their Harley Davidsons with the chopper steering wheels or whatever those things are called, handlebars. And they've got their patches on and their vest and their leather and their helmets and spikes. And I said, you know, I couldn't imagine living like that. Those all that wild stuff they must be into, the drugs and the womanizing and the violence and the crime. And I just really felt sorry for them. And then we pulled into a gas station, and lo and behold, there was this biker gang. And I said, you know what, y'all, let's pray for them. We gathered in a little circle, and I said, "Lord, please send a light into their life to turn their ways around." I remember praying for their salvation, and I remember feeling very pious and good about it, and amen, and everybody said, "That was great, Mason." And then the biker gang started to take off, and it occurred to me, instead of simply praying, maybe I should go talk to them. I had this idea. I would share with them a Bible and a religious tract, and that would change their lives forever, and they'd give up their biker gang ways and come to Jesus and throw away that leather and put on suits and ties. But I was too late. They were gone. And I remember distinctly feeling like a dummy. I shouldn't have spent all that time praying for them. I should have gone over there. And I did pray at that moment. I said, "God, help me encounter them once more." I said, I pray that God would give me another opportunity to meet this gang of bikers so that God's truth might be revealed. And then I didn't think anything else of it. We got in the van. We drove down to Caswell. We settled into our rooms, and then we went into the first worship session and walked in the door, and guess who's sitting on the front row?
that gang of bikers. And it immediately occurred to me what I had prayed for. Indeed, it did come true. I said, God, may I encounter them again so that your truth might be revealed. And the truth is, I kind of was a dummy. The truth that God revealed to me is, those bikers don't look like you thought a Christian should look, do they? They don't fit your preconceived notion about what it means to be a child of God. They're not this nice, well-dressed, clean, white boy in cowboy boots like you, Mason. They're a gang of dudes. They're a gang of bikers. Of course, I think they would refer to themselves as a club. And it turns out they travel all over the country preaching and teaching and sharing testimonies and ministering to other bikers. They even have little church services along the interstates all over. And these people put my devotion to shame, and their knowledge of Scripture far exceeded anything I had imagined at that point in my life. God's truth was this, that not all Christians look alike. That not all of God's children have to fit my mold or my preconceived notion. And then, you know, God, he has this knack for when he teaches you something, then he decides he's really going to rub your face in it. Because that very worship service, there was this incredible little skit put on by this drama duo called Mog and Wog, Man of God, Woman of God. And it was called Dumb as a Stick. And I'm not going to tell you the whole skit, but essentially it involved these two guys, one who was very bright and one who was very dumb. And the dumb one was always wanting to be something he was not. He wanted to be a race car driver. So he put on a race car driver hat and glasses, and he was pretending to drive a race car. And the punchline was, you may look like a race car driver, you may sound like a race car driver, you may act like one or even dress like one, but if you think that makes you a race car driver, then you're dumb as a stick. And then later on in the service, he comes out wanting to be a wrestler. You may look, act, talk, but that doesn't make you a wrestler. And then at last, I remember thinking, what has this got to do with anything? What has this got to do with God? What has this got to do with my faith? And then they presented what is called the punchline segment. The two went to church. And the dumb one wanted to really do church. When it came time to sing to him, he began to sing, Amazing Grace. And the other one said, shh, you don't really sing. You just mouth the words like this. Singing is for the choir, right? Then it came time to put the money in the offering plate. And as the plate passed by, the dumb one said, money! And he puts his hand in. And the other one says, no. You don't take the money out, you put the money in, but make sure everybody sees. So when you put it in, you do like this. Then it came time to pray, and the dumb one began to pray, Dear Jesus, and shh, no, you don't pray. Pray to yourself. Pray to myself. Dear Mason, no. You just don't do anything. When we pray, just sit there, don't say a word, just wait till the amen, and then you open your eyes again. And then finally, at last, they came to the invitation, and the dumb one started to respond, believe it or not, respond to what the preacher was preaching about. And the other one says, no, you don't actually do anything. You just wake up when he says amen, and you know the service is over with. And the dumb one says this. He says, you may look like a Christian. You may act like a Christian. You may even talk and dress like a Christian. But if you think that makes you a Christian, then you are dumb as a stick. So here God had given me in this less than 24-hour period these two vital truths. One, just because you think you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. That not all Christians look like you. My entire worldview was dismantled in less than 24 hours. That not everybody who claims to be a Christian is, and that not all Christians look like me. I think that this is what in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 11. This is really at the heart of the struggle that Peter is facing with these very pious, very religious, fellow devout Jewish Christians. At this point, Christianity is still very much a Jewish movement. You're circumcised, you obey the law, you follow kosher diet regulations. And the Gentiles were just something out there lost. And you don't mix with that. They're the biker gang. And Peter is having a change of heart. His entire worldview is being dismantled by what he's seeing, what he's experiencing from God. And the other people around it are starting to worry about Peter, that he's losing his mind, that he's behaving like a dummy, that he just doesn't get it. Listen to this story in chapter 11. It says, "Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God." This is a shocker for them. We take this kind of stuff for granted because most of us are Gentiles. But this was a scandal. They've let the wrong sort in the church. And they're not even kicking them out. They're not even making them stop being Gentiles. They're letting them be Gentiles and still come to church. In verse 2, "So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, 'Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?'" Here's another one of those little moments in Scripture that we don't understand. We take it for granted. You can eat pork. You can eat shrimp and oysters if you want. You can have catfish. You can eat all kinds of things that for them at this moment would have been shocking. Again, a scandal afoot. How dare he go and hang around with the wrong sort of folk? And even enjoy their practices, eat the food they eat, drink what they drank. In verse 4, "Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals." These are unclean. "Beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.'" Could you imagine being Peter and you have a vision like this, intense sensory experience? I have no idea what it must have been like for him. And to hear out loud a voice from the heavens, and you know it's the Lord Almighty, telling you eat, and you say, "Oh no, God, I'm too holy for that. You just don't understand how holy I am, God. I can't do something like that. You're trying to trick me." This is God telling him it's okay. And he still won't accept it. He still can't believe it. I think sometimes God tells us it's okay and we still can't accept it. There's something wrong with us that we, if we're honest, we kind of think in that moment we're better than God. We know better than he. In verse 9, we get God's response. "But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.'" Just marinate on that for a moment. Do we find ourselves calling unclean something God has made holy? Calling the sacred profane? What are we saying to God, or what are we saying about our belief and relationship to God? This happened three times. Everything was pulled up to heaven. "At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us." These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. This is crucial to get that verse. He's saying that exactly the same Spirit that we received, in exactly the same way we received it, these heathens have got it too. And my mama told me not to play with people like that, to be careful about folks like that. And here they are in the same way receiving the Spirit. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." That's the moment I had there as a teenager. That realization, if God has saved them and called them sacred and claimed them as his own, then who am I to hinder God? I don't know that I've ever felt quite so small and petty and silly. Who am I to say this person's in the club and that one is not? Who are any of us to make such a grandiose and arrogant claim? But we do it all the time. This person doesn't believe the way I believe, so they cannot be in the club. This person doesn't worship the way I worship. They don't like the type of music that I think is sacred. I know what sacred is, and this is sacred music. So therefore, they cannot be in the club. This person over here, they have a different doctrine than I have. They don't understand the deep and sacred and timeless truths of our tradition. They're not Baptist enough. They cannot be in the club. This person over here, they don't understand sin the way I understand sin. I know what right and wrong is, and here's the list of what is okay, and here's the list of what's not okay, and their list doesn't match up with my list. They cannot be in my club. These people over here, well, they just don't get it. They just don't get how vital this theological issue is, and because they don't get it, they may even agree with me about it, but they don't think it's as serious as I think it is. They cannot be in my club either. Our list continues. It grows larger and larger, and I think the older we get, the longer our lists become of those who do not get to be in my club. And it's about theology, it's about doctrine, it's about practice, it's about worship styles and preferences. Sometimes it's even about race, if we're honest. Not just race, but class. Their socioeconomic standings, and it's not quite where it ought to be for them to be allowed to join and participate in my club. They are the mission, not the missionaries. Think about how arrogant that is. To see that, oh, all we can ever do is serve them and handle them and take care of them, and we fail to see that maybe they have something for us. And because we never get it, we always believe they cannot be in my club. And to all of that, God would say, it's not your club. And you do not get to make the rules. The club is his. And all are welcome in, whether you like it or not, whether I get it or not. And whether I am bright or dumb, God is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last, and everything in between. And it is He that says to us, "Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I am doing a new thing." Can we handle it? I'll leave that question to linger in your minds over your fried chicken today at lunch. Can you handle God and all that God seeks to do, with or without you? Let us pray. Who are these that we reject? What's our problem with them, God? Why do we make it so difficult? What's wrong with us? Open our hearts so that we might love. That's what's wrong with us, isn't it? A heart condition. God, fill our hearts with that kind of love that we've only read about in stories in the Bible. Kind of love that you filled Peter's heart with, to love the sinner, to love the strangers and the strange ones, to love the alien, whether he or she is documented or not, to love the one whose sexual orientation doesn't make sense to us, to love them and do not judge, but simply love and love and love and love some more, to love the one who is the addict, to love the prostitute and have enough love in our hearts to realize that there's got to be something painful going on there that we will never even understand, to love the one who robbed and to realize that maybe their story is about food and medicine and not about being mean and hateful and hurtful, to help us love without borders and bridges and walls, to help us love those who don't behave the way we think they ought to behave. God, fill our hearts with love. Help us to even love the politicians. And help us to love ourselves, for we are your children too. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We invite you to not be dumb as a stick, but to respond to the word of God this morning. As we sing together our hymn of response, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Verses 1, 2, and 4. It's number 277 in your hymnal. If you're able, would you stand together as we sing?
you're new to the First Baptist family, you may not be aware that on Sunday evenings we have a Bible study time. There's children's activities and youth activities as well. And during that Bible study time, we hash out and wrestle with and ask questions about the sermon and the worship experience. So tonight I encourage you, if you've not been a part of that, what a wonderful time to start as we think about who is in and who is out. As we try to think and dig more deeply into this passage from Acts and understand it together. The invitation is for you to come. 5 o'clock meal, 5:45 Bible study. I'm round table tonight. Yes, Janie. Janie, our moderator, has just reminded me of how dumb I can be. We do have a round table tonight, and if we have time after the round table, we typically go into Bible study after that. So come at 5 for the meal and round table, followed by some good discussion. Would you pray with me and remain standing for our benediction response? Lord, as we go with us and lead us into every nook and cranny of the world, highways and byways, to find your children and to see that you are there, that you are ahead of us and before us, that you are with us always, and that you are with all your children. Make us new in this week to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.